Say, Lord Jesus, I need ears to hear, a heart to perceive what your Spirit is speaking to me. Amen? There are times when we search the heart of the Lord, and before it manifests, there are many questions in our hearts. And this morning is no exception. In the book of Colossians, I want to take you to chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Notice it's not the knowledge of your will or your plan. The knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Not natural wisdom, not reasoning, not feeling good about how you think or react. But with knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit once in a while.
No.
Oh. I'm doing it on purpose. I'm tricking you. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, not according to what you think. How many know that this here is a block to all the actions of the Spirit? Every time you get a direction, this brain is going to go out there and try to readjust so that you'll never meet where you're supposed to end up. Yesterday at the leaders' meeting, I had a word for a young man who's in Ecuador. And he's ministering with his wife, and he was sharing with me a few things, and the Lord had given me a word, and I spoke it to him. I gave him a caution because there's some difficulty in his body. And I talked to him about obedience. I don't think he's 30 yet, and he's been all over the world as a missionary along with his wife, ministering all over the earth. As the Holy Spirit was reminding me to share with him the importance of obedience. This goes back to the early 80s. And the Lord had me out of work for 3 years after he sold my business. And for 3 years, I did nothing but obey. That was my job. Full time. 7 days a week. I had just purchased a new car. And it was a very nice Chevrolet Celebrity. It was a nice little car. It was white and it had red interior. And I fell in love with it. So, when you fall in love, what happens? You try to marry it, right? That was the color of the ministry. White on the outside, red on the inside. So, it represented purity and God's cleansing. So, I don't know what day of the week it was. That part I don't remember. But I got up in the morning, had my whatever, coffee and some breakfast and so on, and I go into the bathroom to shave. And as I'm shaving, The Lord said, I want you to go to Westfield to the bookstore, the Christian bookstore, at Thea's. Thea Smith was a born-again believer who loved the Lord, and we became quite buddies. She was from Germany, and I'm from Canada, so that tells you that we weren't native here. So, I said, okay, Lord, no problem. And I had a little bit of a repair job to do, so I needed some moldings that I needed to pick up at one of my warehouses, which I still had an open account with. So I get on the highway, and I'm heading towards Westfield. Well, I'm on Route 20A, those of you who remember the old road. And I thought, well, you know, it would be a good idea to pick up my moldings on the way, because then I could take the turnpike back home. So I pulled off of Route 20, and I took Route 5 south. How many know what happened? No? It was raining. Pretty strong. And the windshield wipers were wonderful. They were doing a great job. And as I'm driving on Route 5 south to go towards the warehouse where I'm going to pick up these moldings, the windshield wipers stopped. I mean, just like that. Nobody touched the button. So I fiddle with the button, and I'm praying because now I can't see. And I'm praying in the spirit, and I'm saying, God, what's going on? The question was, God, what is going on? He said, I told you to go to Westfield first. I was going to save money by going to the moldings first. How many know that's disobedience? How many know reasoning was going to get me in trouble? So now I'm trying to turn the thing on and it won't work. And the rain is splattering. And I heard it again. Please. Turn around. Oh, man. So there's, by the Memorial Bridge, there's a big turnaround there. As soon as I pulled off of that lane, which was the right lane, and heading towards the upgrade, towards the circle, the rotary, I said, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. And as I said, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God, now I'm crying. I mean, God has done a miracle in my brand new car. There's nothing wrong with the car. It's working fine. The windshield wipers are working. And I'm saying, oh, this is so good, Lord. So I get to Westfield. I don't know what I'm doing there. I have no clue. Just the instruction was go to the bookstore. So I park my car in a side street. And I walk over to the front door and I come in and I say, Thea, I don't know what I'm doing here. She said, you get in that back room now. That's how, anybody remember Thea?
Yeah.
She used to be on the radio as an evangelist. And she would evangelize in German. So, I mean, I literally just walked in the door, and I'm being commissioned. Go in that back room. How many of you have ever been in that back room?
No.
All right. So I walk into the back room, I'm not knowing a thing. And there's a lady there. And she was probably in her 60s. And her husband. So I said, what can I do? She says, you speak French, I hope. And I said, yes. She says, I'm from northern Vermont with my husband. He's dying of cancer and he doesn't know Jesus and that's your job. And walked out of the room. Okay. Now you know why you're there. And now I go back to God and say, what do you want? He said, talk to him. So I opened up, began to speak to him in French, asked him if his coffee was still warm or whatever, because there was a little coffee pot there. And we ended up chit-chatting about all the things that happen to people. And at that time, my wife was recovering from cancer. But I didn't have the press that I did with my wife for him. So we talked about Jesus. He got born again. wiped away his sin. And 1 week later, I got a telephone call from Thea, and she said, the lady called and said that her husband was gone with Jesus, and she was very grateful that there was a Frenchman in Massachusetts. Yeah. What if I would have went to pick up my moldings first? Would I have missed the opportunity that God had ordained for me to be there? Now, he didn't tell me all the details. He said, go and do. Move! Got it? Close your eyes. Say, Father, for every stubborn excuse that comes into my brain, today I'm asking for grace. When he wants me to move, and to move my mouth, and to obey him, it's not a bunch of excuses that I need. Kim already tried it. It stopped working. The windshield wiper shut off. And for the next 6 years, he had that car. And the windshield wipers never went on strike. You say, that's just another story. No, it's not. It's a lesson of stubbornness. It's a lesson in how you obey the Lord. Being strengthened with power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Verse 13, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. What if I didn't tell that man that I was privileged, that my native tongue was French, that I could communicate with him because he was brought up in Canada but lived in Vermont? He had a big farm there. I don't remember all the details, but I remember the tears flowing from his eyes when he said yes to Jesus, because he began to tell me all the things that he had done wrong, and I told him the list was not important. What was important is that just the blood of the Lord would wash away all his sin, all of his sin, all of his sin. And if he did go home, because the cancer was metastasized, it was everywhere. What am I saying to you? God has given us a privilege. God has given us grace and favor. Oh, you say, but, you know, my body's not behaving. That man's body wasn't behaving. But from that moment on, he was sharing the sufferings of our Savior. Sometimes your body is going to give you some hard moments. How many of you have had hard moments with your body? Put your hand way up. See, you need to look around, because sometimes the lie says, oh, you're the only one that's having a hard time. It's not true. It's not true. Verse 15. The supremacy of Christ in the NIV, that's what it says. The supremacy of Christ. Who is he? He is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is the image of the invisible God. When you talk about Jesus, you're talking about a man. If you go back to Genesis, you're going to recognize that when the Father decided to create Adam, how many parts were there to Adam? Did he have a body?
Oh, three.
Yeah. Did he have a brain?
Well, that's
yeah.
Questionable.
Well, he did. Okay. He named all the animals. Did he have a spirit? When the Father breathed upon him, he became a living soul. Mind, will, and emotions. So now, think about it. Adam was made in the image of Papa. Jesus was also made in the image of Papa. Papa was in full control of his mind, will, and emotions. Kim in 1986 was not. Kim was still trying to figure out how we save a buck. Oh, come on. Come on. Use your brains a little bit. Right? Doesn't what the enemies tell you, use your brains? No, use your spirit. How many know your spirit is higher in power and authority than it is in your mind and your will and your emotions? And yet we're so accustomed to going by the emotions and all the things that go with it, to save a dollar, I was going to miss out on bringing salvation to the man that God had chosen. I was going to miss out. Why?
Because of your own desires to do it your way.
That's going to save a buck. Okay? I was going to do it my way. I was accustomed to planning and pre-planning everything because I ran a business for 20 years. You don't run a business without plans. You don't run a business without moving. And if you don't move your butt, the people who work for you ain't going to have a good example.
Amen.
So you move. And you do. Mm-hmm. So I was accustomed to
moving
and doing. Now, that's not what the Word says. The Word says it's by your spirit that you should be in submission to the Father, who is the Father of your spirit. That's the bottom line. And when you coordinate that, it takes all this block of wood that you've got on your shoulders here, and it brings all kinds of pressure and strains. But you've got to remember, God has a plan for us. Doesn't He want us to become like Jesus? How many can say amen?
Amen.
Say, He wants me
to become
like the firstborn son.
Like the firstborn son.
The firstborn son.
The firstborn son.
Is the image
of the invisible God.
The firstborn.
Over all creation.
Are you ready for that? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So we are going to become... Oh, my. You mean salvation is going to make me like Jesus? Yeah. He's got a plan. And His plan is to make you like Him. Like the firstborn. Jesus in Romans 8 says He's the firstborn of many
brothers.
Wow. Look at your neighbor, eyeball to eyeball. That I didn't realize that you've got something to be envious of. The same Holy Ghost is working on me. That's been working on Jesus.
And Jesus
has the fullness of the Father.
Working in
Him. And guess what He's doing in me?
He's on the job.
Bringing His fullness.
In me.